What is the chief weapon to win any warfare that you must go through? And all these work together, but I mean, it all starts here. The name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. It's not a curse word. It's not a nice word. It's not an occasional word. It's the only word. It's the only word. This past week in our city, you know, I know there are other groups, but two primary groups that aren't always popular with people are motorcyclists and cowboys. But let me tell you something about most motorcyclists. They may have a little brown stuff on their chin. They may be a little rough and tough. They may not have shaved in a while. But most motorcyclists, if you get close in, I enjoyed my Harley. I don't have it right now, but I enjoyed it. But in conversation, I know a preacher friend of mine was up in New England. His bike broke down. These bikers came by, found out that his bike was broken down, and he was from Oklahoma. And they called a tow truck, towed his bike into a bike shop, paid to get his bike fixed, paid for his motel that night, and helped him get on his way the next day. And they knew he was a preacher, and he got a good chance to share, you know, a lot of good things with them. This last week, something happened, and I'm so glad there's still some people that have the guts to speak up. Not to be politically or culturally correct, but of all days, on a Sunday, a Muslim imam was asked to give the prayer at our rodeo out here at 119 years of rodeo, and here's where we are. That bothers me. Leave us alone. There are some areas, leave us alone. Amen. I'm not a great cowboy and I'm not the greatest biker, but I'm jealous for the name of Jesus. There is no other religion. Anything apart from the name of Jesus is not a religion that will get you to heaven. There's only one name. There's only one name you can cry to, you can call to. There's only one name that died on a cross for all your sins. And though we have our problems in Christianity, we all know that every Christian isn't everything they're supposed to be. But Christianity is all about loving people, helping people. The fact that our leader, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary for all the sins of the world. And I know there are some good Muslims, and I appreciate the help of a precious doctor who stood with us when our daughter was faced death's door a few years ago. I know it's like Catholics. You can't say every Catholic is born again because they claim Rome is their spiritual home. You can't say that everybody that claims they're a Christian is saved. Folks, there's only one way it happens for any of us, and that's through the name of Jesus. It just ain't going to happen no other way. It's the name of Jesus. It's not the good Lord. It's not a great teacher. It's not a miracle worker. It's not someone who was kind to children and helped the downtrodden and needy. His name is Jesus. And I'm jealous for the name of Jesus. I'm jealous for the name of Jesus. Leave my Jesus alone unless you want to believe in him. Don't use his name in profanity. Don't pervert his name by bringing false religions in and trying to crossbreed that. It's not going to work. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He said, Peter, how in the world did all this happen? He said, it's through the name of Jesus. And I wished I could say it more elaborately than I'm saying it. Wished I could say it in a more grand and majestic way, but thank God for Calvary Cathedral International. Jesus is what this church is all about. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the center. It's not a cultural center. It's a Jesus center. I believe in Jesus with all my heart. His name shall be called Jesus. The name of Jesus. So, in the weapons of our warfare, the enemy comes in like a flood. Most of you do, maybe all of you do, but I know I sure do my share of it. Father, in the name of Jesus, no. Or yes, depends on what the situation is. Doctor's report or financial challenges or whatever. No, in the name of Jesus. I'm on the side of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I've loved him for these years. And I thank him for the mercy and the grace that he's shown to this pastor. So when your back's against the wall, the chief weapon is the name of Jesus. The chief weapon is the name of Jesus. Well, I believe in the good Lord, honey. You just need to go all the way and believe in the good Lord's Son. Amen? His name shall be called Jesus. No compromise. No compromise here. No compromise. I'm not going to cast his name aside for some political correctness or cultural correctness. Or unfortunately, that the choice for that type of thing has been turned over to some folks that, you know, are blowing bubbles in the sky, you know. Just leave cowboys alone. Leave Fort Worth alone. Keep the name of Jesus in there. Did I make myself plain? We believe in Jesus. It's the only name. It's the only name. It's the only name. Secondly, when all hell seems to come against you, another weapon of your warfare is, that's how we get the name of Jesus, is based on the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And then 24 through 25. But the Bible tells us that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of his divine nature. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is a word church. This is a Jesus church, but this is a word church. You say, well, do you hate anything? No, 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 we don't hate. You see, the problem with that religion is they kill people. I know there's been some dark ages with Christianity, but honey, that doesn't happen. If churches like this were involved in terrorism today, you'd never hear the end of it. It would be in the news media from morning till night. But it happens, and they say, well, it's just a very few. No, if you read the doctrine, the doctrine for every one of them, whether they ever do it or not, the doctrine for everyone is to kill the infidels. And tell the person next to you they think we're infidels. The Christian religion is to love people. But the Word of God. The Word of God, Man shall not live. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Man shall not live. Shall not live. Don't live by bread alone. Gotta have it. Things we have to have in life. But the biggest thing in our life is not bread. It's the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God. The Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. I said, thank God for the Word of God. Excuse me, the Word of God's preached here without apology. We believe the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. By God's grace, that's why you're here today. It's a two-edged sword. Thank God for the Word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. Thy Word has kept me from the destroyer over and over again. If anyone had a revelation, Old Testament revelation of the Word, it was David. Go through the Psalms. Thy Word, Psalms 119. Thy Word, Thy Word, Thy Word, the Word, the Word. It found us, it's kept us, it's strengthened us, it's protected us. It's our strength. It's our help when there's no one to help. The Word. There's a third weapon from the supernatural tool chest of God Almighty, and that's the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. I said, thank God for the blood. Back in the Old Testament, they placed the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Yet, years later, there would come the Lamb of God whose blood was on the cross. And every house where the blood was on the doorpost, there was safety. And every house where the blood was not on the doorpost, there was death. Thank God for the blood. You believe in that bloody religion? Yes, I do with all of my heart. Thank God for the blood. It has never lost its power. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the blood. I speak that every week. It's part of my vocabulary. It's part of my response to anything the devil brings up. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Could you flash that up there? Revelation. Yeah. Praise be unto God. Revelation 12, 11. Might take just a moment. We'll put it up there. I just want you to read it with me. We'll read it together. There we go. Say it with me. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Every one of these is a sermon, a teaching, a seminar. There's another weapon. There's another weapon. It's the powerful Holy Spirit of God. I still... I wished he was still with us, Brother R.W. Shambach. I can still hear him saying, Holy Ghost. He could roll it. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. Acts 1:8 said, you shall receive wimpitis. You shall become a wet noodle. Ye shall receive. I didn't hear you. You're getting louder, but I didn't hear you. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Power. There's power in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I must go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'm going to send you another Comforter. Amplified does a beautiful job on that, John 16:7, and he's a helper, he's a comforter, he's a counselor, he's a strengthener, he's a standby. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We're not ashamed of the Holy Ghost here at this church. You say, well, I wish we had more manifestation. I do too. Why don't you get off high center and let's do it. Get your mind off chicken on Sunday morning and let's talk about Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is welcome in this house. Not stupidity, foolishness, or someone want to, you know, make a crazy out of themselves. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost. I hunger and thirst for the Holy Ghost of God. It was the Holy Ghost that made the difference. Jesus said, don't do anything. American Express thought they said it right when they said, don't leave home without it. In essence, Jesus said, don't do anything without it. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And still, I'm still shocked that there's people that criticize outreach and witnessing and what you've already heard in this house this morning. Brother, anyone that questions that has a problem, and I seriously think they need to walk this aisle and get saved, although they're not here anymore. They need to get born again somewhere. Listen, if you don't understand outreach and soul winning, you may not be active in it, but don't fight it and don't criticize it. He said, well, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I mean, what are you doing with it? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Still, it comes to me quite often as we were ministering in Jamaica with the Voice of Healing, and I was with some powerful men of God, and as we passed the swimming pool of the hotel there, going for the van that was taking us out to the crusade, a leading news commentator at that time, he said, who are you? And he recognized we were Americans. And he said, well, what are you doing here? And I said, we're here to preach the gospel of Christ. And I've never met such a sarcastic attitude in my life. He said, these people are happy just like they are. Why are you coming over here trying to confuse them? That's the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of this world. And that spirit is still prevalent today. Amen. It's prevalent in television. It's prevalent in the arts. It reeks in the arts. I'm not against real art, but you understand what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit of God. You get along pretty well as long as you talk about the good Lord or the man in the sky, you know. But then you talk about his son, Jesus, and then you talk about the Holy Ghost, and now you got yourself in a mess. Unless you have the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, I believe in all three. I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What don't you understand? Amen. So that's one of the great tools, the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in my own heart, I'm rediscovering the power of the Holy Spirit in everything we do. In people that you meet, where you go, your business. I mean, he's not just here high steeple on Sunday morning. You need him in your business deals. You need the Holy Spirit of God to lead you and guide you and give favor in tough situations of life. Never met someone before, you're going to meet them. Holy Spirit, I just depend on you right now to help me. Go before me. Well, praise God. But here's another great tool, and that's, you know, our God is the God of angel armies. That's a song that's kind of bouncing around right now real pop. He's the God of angel armies. I believe our group sang that here. Didn't you sing it last Sunday morning? Or Sunday morning week, whenever it was. The God of angel armies. I believe in angels. not weird spirits, not Halloween spirits. I believe in godly angels. And I know a third of them fell, but there's still two-thirds that are on God's payroll. And you say, well, how important are angels? Well, God has one angel that can take 185 of the enemy out in one night. One night. I can't go there. Don't have time to take that any further. Psalms 9:11. He giveth his angels charge over thee. Bible said they bear thee up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thank God, thank God. Father, I thank you for the angels of God. You know, if our eyes could just be opened. Well, you remember the young man that freaked out, and the prophet of God said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. He thought the whole world was against them. And when he opened his eyes, he saw that there were this mighty host of angels and chariots and horses. Now, listen to me. Spirit of God, I just love it when God gives me a little simple breakthrough and understanding. I was ministering to a minister that was going through a rough time, and in the course of the conversation, it hit me. I said, wait a minute. God just told me to tell you something. We're not down looking up. We're up looking down. He said, wow. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We're not down looking up in helplessness. You knock a man down in a prize fight, he's on the canvas. You're above him. We're not down looking up. We're up, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're looking down from a place of authority and power and dominion. It's there in the Ephesian letter. So that's another one of our tools. Just remember that angels, if we could just see the angels in this place, you'd wonder how do that many angels operate in one room without bumping into one another. Of course, being ministering spirits, I don't guess it makes any difference. Praise God. The God of angel armies. The God of angel armies. I was ministering in Maui here, whenever it was, back in October, and they were singing, and someone was acting that out with the choir singing, the God of angel armies. And boy, that thing hit me. I thought, oh God, you know, we're not just, hey, maybe when's he going to be through? You know, I reckon. I'm going to tell you, we're in the midst of a mighty host of angels. You're not out there driving alone. You're not out there flying alone. You're not out there by yourself. Thank God he's the God of angel armies. He gives his angels charge over us. Oh, praise God. Well, we're doing a pretty good job just hitting the highlights of it. Also, the power of prayer. You know, every one of these tools looks like it ought to be number one, except, of course, Jesus, and it's all because of him. The power of prayer. Do you really believe that when you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in faith believing, that it shall come to pass? Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, he said, but now you're going to ask the Father in my name, and he will do it. Folks, we need to get a new grip on faith in prayer. We need to get a new grip on faith when we pray. Pray in faith, believing, expecting God to do what God promised to do. The power of prayer. When you pray, whosoever, whatsoever, Mark 11, whosoever, whatsoever, don't lose your vision of that, your grip of that. Expect God. And of course, you've got to pray according to the lines of God's word. I think anyone understands where I'm coming from there. But oh, the power of prayer. When you don't know what to do, God help me. Oh God, I need your help. Lord, I don't need your help. I've got to have your help. I've said that quite often here the last little while. I don't need God's help. I've got to have God's help. I can't make it without it. I can't make it without it. 50 years doesn't guarantee anything. It's day by day, moment by moment, and experience by experience, standing firm in the things of God. Don't forget the power of prayer. Call upon me. God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, things you don't know. And you know, pray through is not old school. Now, hollering is. Just praying till you get tired is. But prayer is important. And when you really, you say, well, I just said, well, Jesus, help me. And there's times that's appropriate and that's all you need to do. But let me give you a little Bible school teaching here. Let me give you a little Bible college, something we share. Praying through. You pray until you run out of English. And then you speak in tongues until you run out of tongues. And then you shift into the overdrive of groanings that cannot be uttered. And how long do you continue until you feel that green light in your spirit that said everything's going to be okay? Did you get that? Pray as far as you know how to pray. And I mean, if it's really something that's a big deal in your life. Seems like I have my share of big deals. You pray until you run out of words. You pray in the Spirit until you run out of tongues. You understand what I'm saying? And then you shift into overdrive. Shift into overdrive with groanings that cannot be uttered, neither English or whatever your language might be, nor tongues. You just weep before God. You weep until you're just silent in God's presence. And you know that 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 you know. Everything's going to be all right. God's going to bring it around. God's going to bring the right thing to pass. May not be on your time or on your calendar and the way you want it, but God's going to do it. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Oh, the power of prayer. I have no doubt, I have no doubt that I'm alive today, in the ministry today, survived all the craziness. You've got your brand of craziness, I had mine. You thought you were smarter than God. You thought you were smarter than the way you'd been raised. You thought you had a better idea and a better way. Thank God there was a mama that said, you'll go to hell over my dead body. You're not going to hell. The call of God's on your life. And thank God there was much intercession that has gone into my life. And I thank God for it. And I'm needing some other mamas to rise up to the occasion. This church needs some intercessors. Not weirdos. I mean, not strange folks. I'm talking about honest to God Bible intercessors. We need it. We need it for our nation. We need it for our city. We need it for our church. There's breakthroughs we need. And we're seeing some breakthroughs, but we need some more significant breakthroughs. We need a significant breakthrough financially. We need a significant breakthrough just in Uganda this last week. I don't have time to go into it. But a man that has been a friend to us from the day one that we met him, about 1995, 96, about 96, if I remember correctly. If anything happens or whenever the president steps down, he is the heir apparent of the president of Uganda, and he's a very, very, he's been a very precious friend to the ministry of Lighthouse Television. We've had dinner with them, and he and his wife both are believers. We need to pray. There's a lot of open doors. You know, we're not just hiding under a steeple on Sunday morning. We need to pray over. Pray for me. Dear God, pray for me. He said, well, I wish you'd do that. Well, pray for me. If that's what I'm supposed to do, God will tell me that. Amen. And if it's none of your business, why, go on and do what you ought to do, you know. Praise God. Pray for me. Pray for our staff. We have a great staff. We have the most unified staff we've had in a long time. They're here. They're glad to be here. We're a team. We're pulling together. The power of prayer. Oh, two or three more. I guess I can try to hurry up and finish. Oh, the amazing eternal grace of God. You know what grace is all about? You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, I wonder if I'm going to hell today. You don't have to live a life of uncertainty. Does God really love me? Does he really care? It's a carnal expression, but you know, Sears used to have the motto, we service what we sell. That cost you an arm and a leg, but anyway, that's what they used to say. I want you to know God keeps what he saves. And there's a lot of folks that have brought a lot of hell on their own head and have brought a lot of adversity into their lives. I'll tell you, folks, God's not going to violate his word. Grace is not to violate God's word. It's to get you to heaven in spite of your craziness. I've never said that before. Somebody write that down. It's to get you to heaven in spite of your craziness. Okay, moving right along. You didn't shout me down because I was preaching good on that one. But grace keeps us until we get saved. Then by faith through grace, we're saved. And then grace keeps us after we're saved. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Thank God for grace. I mean, you know, you can just go fuzzy on some Bible theme. You really can. I was preaching hope when nobody was preaching hope. And I could call some pretty big name ministry. I mean, we were on Channel 11 back then downtown. I was preaching the fire out of hope. If that's not the way to say it, but I mean, I saw hope for what it was, and I was a faith man, but I was really championing hope. And there were some folks that thought I'd gone overboard because I was preaching on hope too. Now everybody's preaching on hope, naming churches after hope, and you know, hope's in style. But I had fun believing in hope before it got cool, you know. But the amazing eternal grace of God. Oh, thank God. Now there's a current song of Amazing Grace. Did we sing? We might have sung it this morning. We sing so many wonderful songs, but never get away from the one we're accustomed to. Also, do you know is it 200 or 2,000 versions of Amazing Grace? Did you know that? Yeah, I think it was Dr. David Jeremiah the other day was saying there's at least 200. We think of one or two, maybe two. Or maybe there's three that we're aware of. But I'll tell you, any way you spell it, any way you sing it, any way you believe it, amazing grace is amazing. God's grace is amazing. It's, oh, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't pay for it, you can't get enough air miles or brownie points or whatever. Salvation by faith through grace. Even when you blow it, God loves you. So don't spend the rest of your life weeping over blowing it. Repent, get it right. Oh, excuse me, repent is not a good word nowadays. Yes, it is. Bible's full of it. Repent. Humble your heart before God. Amen. Been many a marriage that would have been kept together if somebody just repented and said, I'm sorry for once. We all blow it. Thank God, amazing grace saved a wretch. That's what I was. Saved a wretch like me. That's what I was. Oh, thank God. Kept me through many dangers, toils, and snares. Thank God, grace has kept me safe so far, and grace will lead me on. And then when we've been there for a start 10,000 years, woo-hoo-hoo, thank God for grace. You say, how important is it? It's all important. But the more you abuse it, the rougher the road gets. Titus said the grace of God teaches us. Some folks don't want to be taught nowadays. They got a revelation, anything goes. Hey, you can't believe in grace any stronger than I do. I'll challenge anybody on that. But grace has responsibility. There is a responsibility. Just because the road says you can drive 70 or 75 miles doesn't mean you can drive like an idiot. You drive like an idiot and they'll be towing you and the car both off somewhere. Right? Just because it says you can drive 75, but you drive with your eyes open and you drive sensible. And this is the same way with the Word of God. You know, really, I read my Bible not under condemnation, but how can I be more like Jesus? How can I be more like the Apostle Paul? How can my life line up with God in a more scriptural way? Because the more I line up with the Word, the better life becomes. Oh, hallelujah. The amazing grace of God. On your roughest day, thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. I've got two more. Is that all right? Can I give you two more? I'll try to hurry a little bit here. You know, there's another tool in the box. When the devil just comes to try to drive you nuts, it's over in Philippians, the 4th chapter. My God, your God, my God shall supply all of my needs. Do you believe that? I've been believing it for many, many years. My God shall supply all your needs. Not every whim, not every little silly idea you have. God doesn't mind you having fun and enjoying life. But the Bible said God will supply you. And I know there's people in an audience like this that things are good for you, and there are those here that you're wondering where your meal's coming tomorrow, or you're wondering about the light bill, or you're wondering about the tow truck. Has it found the church parking lot yet? You know? But, I mean, say it with me. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That's a good tool to pull out of the toolbox. My God shall supply all of our need. There's one more I want to give you, and I've just been hitting high points of these weapons of warfare that win. It's a fact, folks, Jesus is coming back. I say it sorrowfully, but it's a sad fact that a lot of Baptist churches are preaching Jesus' return, and charismatic churches, oh, don't get me started. Who do we think we are to rewrite the Word of God? The Bible said you mess with the Word, you're in trouble, honey. You may not like it, you may not believe it, you may not understand, but leave it alone. We used to sing a song, I remember, I'm trying to find someone that remembers it. It just says, leave it alone. It's God's precious Word. Just trust it. Just leave it alone. Hallelujah. Understand what you understand and what you don't understand. Just put it in file 13 and say, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. But Jesus is coming back. Heard someone the other day, I try to catch some word, if it's good word, as I'm traveling about. But this train of logic was held. Do you know the second coming of Christ would be a bother to a lot of believers? We're just too busy. You don't understand my schedule. I've got this and I've got that. I've got this. Would the return of Christ disturb your schedule? I put a little humor there, but how do you feel about the coming of God? He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. To reverently expect that Jesus is coming back is okay. It's scriptural. Blessed are those that expect his return. Because, honey, let me tell you something. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming back. He's coming back. Whether you like it or not, whether it inconveniences your schedule or not, Jesus is going to return. Well, I've heard that since I was a child. That's what Peter said. We've heard this thing since we were in, but he's coming back. Jesus is coming back in an hour that you think not. Two will be grinding at the mill, two in bed, two here, two in the field. He's coming back. Whether you like it or not, whether we expect it or not, God help us. Now, I know years ago, there were those, someone said, well, there were people too heavenly minded for earthly good. I haven't met anybody like that in so long. I'm searching for someone that's too heavenly minded. Please submit your application to me. I'd like to talk with you. I'd like to have you lay hands on me. Folks, we've got to live for eternity. Live life with a loose rein. Amen. Be ready to go. Be ready to stay. Be ready to witness. Jesus is coming back. Have you noticed things are getting crazier in the world in which we live? And let me just put one out there. I don't know about anything else, but you know, America is the most insecure place in the world. All the gatherings, all the crowds, all the things we do. I mean, you can't hire enough policemen to keep America safe. Only God has kept this nation safe. Only God. You can't hire enough armies. We can't even take care of our own borders. You can't hire enough policemen. Only God has kept this nation. And when that restraint is withdrawn, oh my God, have mercy. There's a lot of airline pilots that are born again. A lot of flight attendants that are born again. Planes are coming out of the sky without their pilots, without their flight attendants. Can you imagine freeways? Can you imagine? It's going to be bedlam. Only God has kept this nation safe. You can't hire enough. The water supply. I mean, just let your, you know, I don't want to even take it any further. That's why we need to pray for America until it's time, and there'll be a time that it's going to be darker than I could ever preach or ever paint. But until that time, God help us so we can get the gospel out. Do you know the main reason God wants you to prosper? So we can put the monies together. I believe he wants you to drive good, live good, and enjoy the good of the land. But don't get too good with it. Remember, the primary purpose in us having money is to get the harvest, the end time harvest in. That's the reason. Not to just consume it on our own self. Oh, God. Not to be like Achan who hid it in his tent. Don't be obsessed with things. Oh. Used to sing a song, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. It may be morning, maybe night or noon, but we know He is coming soon. You say, what difference does that make? Well, if you believe that Jesus is coming back, I think that'll keep you from cheating on something or cheating on someone or doing the wrong thing or being dishonest. Teller gave me a wrong amount of money a couple of years ago, and I went back. I forget what it was, $67, something like that. She said, this is so amazing. This virtually never happens. And said, a lot of times we know where it went, and we know what it was. We just, for PR reasons, we don't bring it up with customers. But she said, thank you for being honest. If you believe that Jesus is coming back, it's going to affect your schedule. It's going to affect your investments. It's going to affect everything that we do. In church, I do reach a... I just believe that God's going to bring more people to help us to reach out in the outreaches. I know we're a busy church. We are. I mean, we do so many extra things. And we were busy with Christian school. We're busy with Bible college. We're busy with prayer. We're busy with, you know, we are a busy church. We do busy a lot of things to reach people. So that's why we need more people to help us do more for God. Amen. Praise be unto the Lord. And I'm believing that God's going to raise up entrepreneurs. I believe God's going to raise up. Sometimes I think what fun it would be just if I was in a position just to support this church. But that's not God's way. Seems like I do our share of it the way it is. But anyway, thank God the reward's in heaven. Amen. The reward's in heaven. I've lived long enough, preached long enough, been pastor long enough. I'm really not concerned about people's applause. There was a time when I was younger, I guess I did. We all have some flesh on us. I just want to do the work of God. I want to do and finish what God's called us to do. Amen. Praise God. So, that's it. The weapons of our warfare. The name of Jesus. The Word of God. The blood of Jesus. The blessed Holy Spirit. The God of angel armies, the power of prayer, the amazing grace of God, our God who supplies all our needs. And remember that He said, be ye also ready. Jesus is coming back. Praise God. Would you stand with me right now? Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah.